Now, they can spend entire days together, entire nights together, or more. They can spend entire days apart or more apart, weeks apart if they want to. Each one can come and go as he pleases, not dependent upon the other's wishes. But at the same time, they can make plans together if that's what they want to do. Now, it would seem that this would be too expensive to have to set up two households like this, but not necessarily so. Actually, two can usually live just about as cheaply as two or three in most cases, and that's all there is to it. Even if it were more expensive, it is more expensive to live together, but even if it were more expensive to live apart than to live together, isn't it worth it if it makes this one great important relationship more valuable than it would be otherwise? I think marriage is the area where the greatest distortion of values can come into play, because it is simply a case of diverting money from some other less important function that has been too long taken for granted as a necessity. So it all comes to an extra $100 a month to do it this way instead of the other way, perhaps, after you take everything into consideration. Even $200 a month. Isn't there really $200 a month of things in the budget of the two of you that could be hacked out in some way to make this possible if you have once decided that this would make the relationship that much better? Why just simply make it almost inevitable that you're going to have problems together by trying to save a few pennies? As a matter of fact, as we go along, I think we'll see many ways in which mere pennies are usually saved at the expense of the entire marriage, meaning the expense of the relationship that once existed and now is destroyed, not because a better situation is found, but simply because it itself has deteriorated. But if the two individuals decide that a closer arrangement is called for, with or without having gone through the next door transition stage, then they can move in together. But here again, it is important to establish a basis of individuality for many important reasons, that this person is this person and this person is this person. Perhaps first and foremost in this individuality is the need for separate bedrooms. Boy, does that sound unromantic. And those who think that I am heartless and cruel and too analytical and not warm enough and so forth can take heart from the fact that I was shocked at this idea when I first heard about it. As a matter of fact, I heard about it from Tom Sanders, suggested it. And then I thought about it, and it began to make good sense. And when I tried to break the point very gently to Joan Hall, with whom I was discussing the possibility of a mutual arrangement, afraid of some kind of a great negative reaction, she said, "Well, of course. And why would you want it any other way?" And so did a lot of other people I talked to about. And then I'm beginning to get the idea that I'm the only person in the world who never thought of it. But, of course, then you add to that the concept of separate bathrooms. And the purpose in both cases, but especially the bedrooms, is that each person has his own domain, his own sanctuary, his own place that is his and his alone. It's his retreat, his place to be alone if he chooses to be so. He can go there and be completely apart from everything else. It is his sovereign physical domain. Now, if both parties would prefer to spend the entire night together in either party's bed, that's fine. They can do so anytime they want to. But they don't have to, and that's what's important. They will be together because that's where they want to be, and so they'll enjoy it. Sleeping together will never become a routine function that is mechanical simply because you both climb into the same bed every night and kick each other and put your cold feet on each other and so forth. And the enjoyment of spending a night together, cuddled up in the arms of your beloved, is enhanced greatly by being interspersed with the nights when you have the freedom to be all by yourself, if there's a great deal on your mind or something else. And I'm not speaking of sleeping alone just for the sake of contrast, but rather... Well, I guess I better explain that. That wasn't meant to be funny. Precise definitions usually help considerably. What I meant was that you're not sleeping alone just so you'll have a great contrast when you don't sleep alone, but rather that both nights should be both enjoyable and meaningful to you. The value of being all by yourself, as I say, is sometimes very difficult to realize if you've never been by yourself. I know this was true in my life, and I've talked to other people who have made this great discovery for themselves late in life, too. I grew up, I left my parents' home, But I was only gone about 3 or 4 months living in one place or another very cheaply until I was drafted. And I spent 3 years in the Army where you don't really have too much aloneness. And about 2 months before I got out of the Army, I was married by the state of Arizona and all their wisdom and authority. And then I was in this relationship for 8 years. And then when my wife and I were separated, I began to live by myself, and it wasn't until I had been living by myself for 6 months or a year that I even began to understand myself and what it was I wanted in a home and the things that I wanted. Because even though I had appeared to make very definite decisions about things in, of the joint matters and so forth between my wife and myself, I had not really been doing so. I had been taking into consideration many factors that were other than what I specifically wanted to see, but I was taking them into consideration so automatically that I didn't stop and think to myself, well, I would like to have this, but I know she'd rather have that, therefore I'll do this. None of those thoughts ever went through my mind.